Testing, testing.
Okay. Oh, thank you. I am pregnant, in case I don't want you guys get distracted. Like, is she pregnant? I am pregnant. I have a baby boy due at the end of June, so very excited. We do have a two-year-old daughter as well. Anyway, I got a lot of work to do, so we're going to get started. We'll start with some prayer, and then we'll get into the text. Dear Father, we love you. Thank you for this church family. Thank you for Natalie's worship today and for preparing our hearts. I pray that you use me as an empty vessel today and speak to these women about humility and teach us how to implement it in our lives. We love you so much. Amen. Amen. Okay, so we're in Philippians 2, and how I think of Philippians 2, can you hear me okay? I feel like I can't. Okay. I think of it in four chunks. So first, we have Paul talking to the people in Philippi, and he's saying, here's what I want from you guys, which is humility. Second, he points to Christ Jesus' example of humility for us to follow. Three, here's how to be humble in your lives. And four, here's a few examples of people that are exemplifying humility. So let's start with the first section. We'll do Philippians 2, 1 through 5. I'm going to read through this booklet since we're all probably reading through it as well, just so we're all on the same version. So let's start. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So we're going to stop there. This is our first chunk. And as I'm reading that, I noticed three things. One, Paul mentions the word mind four times in five verses, so it must be important. Two, although the word humility is not explicitly used, he's clearly talking about humility. He uses the term esteem others better than yourself. Three, it appears Paul is emphasizing that he wants his audience, which his original audience is the believers in Philippi, to be unified with their mind. So he uses terms like-minded and of one mind. So I'm going to put it all together, all those observations. So Paul is focusing on the concept of unity of mind within the body of believers in Philippi, emphasizing the importance of humility. So I'm going to say it one more time. Paul is focusing on the concept of unity of mind within the body of believers in Philippi, emphasizing the importance of humility. And why is he emphasizing this? And it is answered in verse 5. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So because Christ Jesus has this type of mind, this lowliness of mind, we're to emulate it, which goes into our next section, which is Jesus and his humility. So let's start there. Philippians 2, 6 through 11 says, Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So you'll see I like to work in numbers. So now we're going to do three kind of observations from this section. And so Jesus' humility is exemplified through his position. He humbled himself of position and status. So before becoming human, Jesus pre-existed with God in a state of glory and equality. But he chose not to exploit his equal status for self-advantage. Rather, he emptied himself. But I want to be clear that Jesus was and still is 100% God and 100% human, but chose to empty himself of his equal status with God when he came to earth and incarnated into a human body. So that's the first step, is Jesus' humility of his position. Second is his humility of death. Because he's God, there's no reason for him to experience a physical death of a physical body like you and I will experience. So he humbled himself to just accept at face value a physical death. But not only that, the text says we learned in Mark 16 as well that he went to a crucifixion, which we learned is the most gruesome death. And so he humbled himself, taking on a physical body. Then he went farther and took on the most gruesome death. Then he went one step further because he didn't have to die. He was 100% sinless. He died for us. He died for our sins. And so he was the ultimate sacrifice to cover us before a perfect God. So he first humbled himself of position, then humbled himself to the point of death. Then the good news is God exalted him. And through God's power and grace, so God, I won't get into the Trinity too much, but God the Father, and then we have Jesus the Son and the Holy Spirit. And God the Father resurrected Jesus from the dead. So his death has been reversed. And now he's highly exalted. He's the King above all kings. He's our Messiah. And so then I'm going to summarize everything, and then I want to kind of take an aside. So Jesus is the perfect example of humility and perfect obedience. He made himself the last on earth, humbling himself before all mankind, and is now sitting at the right hand of the Father, the most prominent place in the kingdom. He is the first, the greatest name, the greatest king, and reigns Lord over all. And since we're here and the text is presenting it, I find that even in a church setting, not everyone knows and can articulate the gospel message. And in Mark 16, we just learned that we're supposed to go share the gospel and make disciples of all nations. But what happens if you don't know the gospel? So while we're here, let's just simmer on it for a second. And this 6 through 11 is a beautifully condensed version of the gospel. So if you're into it, I do recommend memorizing it. Just commit it to memory. I find the NIV version a little bit more readable and probably easier to memorize. But it's basically Jesus's incarnation. So taking it from God, making himself human, his life, his death, his resurrection, and his exaltation. So I wrote out kind of a quick paragraph of the gospel message summarized. Jesus was 100% God and 100% man, but emptied himself of status with God. He lived a perfect, sinless life on earth. He died a gruesome death on the cross, not because he needed to, but because of our sin. God resurrected him from the dead, and now Jesus is exalted at the right hand of the Father, interceding on our behalf. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. For those who believe that this is true, they get to participate in this story of being dead to sin and resurrected with Christ. So, I mean, the text was there. We had to do it. So now we're going to jump back because I kind of want to focus more on this concept of humility. We're going to move into our third chunk. So Paul's saying, here's what I want from you guys. Be humble. Jesus was humble. Here's how to be humble is our next section. So let's go to Philippians 2, 12 through 16. I'm going to take a quick sip of water so I'm not used to talking this much. Okay, starting with 12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Now, the verse 12 about working out your salvation with fear and trembling, I find can be very confusing. So I'm going to focus on that. We'll break it down, put in the overall context, and put it all together. So work out essentially means to continually work to bring something to completion or fruition. So for me, this sounds like sanctification, which is essentially striving to become more like Jesus in our everyday lives. Two is fear. In Greek, that means reverence or respect. And then three, trembling, means a healthy fear of offending God through disobedience, in awe and respect for his majesty and holiness. A shaking due to weakness, revealing dependence on God. So putting it all together, just this one verse, I would say this verse is about first humbling ourselves before God, acknowledging our status before him. So we are the creature, he is our creator. We are the sinner, he is our savior. And this should leave us to have a healthy respect for God and to show our complete dependence on him. So just as we saw in verse 6, Jesus, even as the Son, humbled himself before God of his God status and made himself human. So we, so much more having zero God status, must have an awe and respect for God that puts us in a position of humility. So working out our salvation with fear and trembling means following Jesus' example. What did he do? He died. So putting ourselves to death. And I would argue that it would be putting our pride to death, which we'll talk about in a second. Now, here's the good news. I feel like I'm like, you guys look very sad. But the good news is the next verse, which it says, "For it is God who works in you," which is confusing. And we're going to talk about it more. But like, God is doing the work to bring you to humility before him. So you don't like, I generally take this stance of like wanting to like muscle my way through it and like through. Just like, if I just worked harder, I could be more obedient. I could be better. I could overcome my sin. But that's all. That's my pride speaking. So it is God who works in us. So we're supposed to be humble before God, but he's going to help us do the work. So keep that in the back of your mind. And the next section is Paul is mentioning what it looks like. So we're humble before God, but then our next step is being humble before others. And so Paul kind of briefly mentions the complaining and disputing. So complaining and disputing, I would argue, is the opposite of humility before others. We're going to dive into this a little bit more because it's a little confusing, but I want to give you a summary of everything going on so far, and then we're going to kind of apply humility to our life. So the believers must first humble themselves before God, just as Jesus did. Then they would all be of the same mind and unified in their position before God. This would translate to how they interacted with their fellow believers and the world around them. They would not grumble and argue, as these are traits characterized by pride, not humility. They would be lights in the world to a crooked and perverse generation. The next section I am not going to spend time on, but basically Paul is saying, here's three people that are exemplifying humility. He briefly mentions himself, he mentions Timothy, and Epaphroditus. But now I want to go into this book that Kim recommended. It's called Humility by Andrew Murray. Victoria mentioned it last time in her speaking. And I'm not one to recommend books because I feel like it kind of gives someone one more thing to do. But I do recommend it. However, I have read it. I've summarized it. I've kind of taken the main point. So if you really don't have time to read it, hopefully the next like 5 minutes will give you the main points. But if you want to dive deeper, I recommend. So it's called Humility by Andrew Murray. It's kind of an older like book, and it takes some, like my brain hurt when I was reading it. So here I have Murray's summary in one sentence, and then I have my summary, and we'll break it down. So Murray's summary is, our role is to be empty vessels for God to use, a soul ready to do his will and forget ourselves. My summary is, pride is at the root of all my issues. Christ's humility is a solution. I'm to both be humble before God and others. I do this through Christ's Spirit working in my heart and taking every opportunity in my daily life to sacrifice pride and show Christ's humility in me. So let's start with pride. I'm going to read a little quotes, but then I'll kind of, you know, comment on them. So pride, the loss of humility, is the root of every sin and evil. And I think I'm often an overanalyzer, and sometimes I overanalyze my sin or try to put it into different boxes. But this kind of like, it really simplified my thinking that all my sin boils down to my pride when you really think about it. And it's kind of helped reframe my mind. This next section is a way that pride comes out even within our Christian circles. He says, listen to the way Christians speak of one another, touchy, impatient, self-defensive, self-assertive to the point of sharp judgments and unkind words. Yeah, I wrote ouch next to that. And this next one was actually an ouch too. Even unconsciously, there can develop a private habit of soul that cannot help but see how far ahead it is of others. So those are, I mean, we all can probably hopefully see the pride in our life, but those ones got me. So this is why humility is so important. And Murray's kind of main point is that we often just kind of throw humility into this like fruits of the spirit, like I'll get around to it kind of thing, like maybe it will come. And his point is humility, the place of entire dependence upon God is from the very nature of things, the first duty and the highest virtue of his creatures. So, and I've been experimenting with it for the past few weeks. Like, okay, let's just say I boil all my sins down to pride and I just focus on humility. It's actually been, I'll talk about it in a second, but there is something to it. And because sin, the sin of pridefulness begets all other sins, the focus on Christ's humility, which is the whole point of Paul's message to us, there's the reason why it's in the Bible. There's a reason why this is being communicated to us. So like we saw in our text, there's kind of a two-part series to it. So there's humility before God and humility before others. Now, this is what Murray says. Humility towards others is the only sufficient proof that our humility before God is real. It will manifest itself in all our bearing towards others. So essentially saying you can talk the talk as much as you want. You can say how humble you are before God. But if it's not being manifested in your day-to-day life, it's not true humility. So now I'm like, okay, like I'm on board. I get it. I want to be humble. Where's the rubber meet the road? Like, how do I do this when I am frustrated, when I'm in a conversation with my husband, when I'm talking to someone at the grocery store? Well, how do I do it? So I kind of broke it down into two parts. One, being humble before God and others requires dying to self and recognizing that you cannot be humble on your own. Just like we learned in verse 13, that it's God who does the work. So Murray says, humility leads to perfect death. Humility means giving up self, taking the place of perfect nothingness before God. How do I die to self? Death to self is not your work. It is God's work. So keeping that in mind, that because if you were making yourself humble, wouldn't that make you prideful because you can make yourself humble? So keeping that in mind, like I'm not doing, when I'm brought to a place of humility, that's not because, oh, sweet, I did it. It's because God did it. So that's the first kind of mindset. And then the second one is this something I've been applying to my life lately, is using every opportunity in the ordinary daily life as a way for God to teach you the act of dying to self, which is sacrificing pride and taking on humility. So this last one also is kind of a rubber meets the road. Look upon every person who tries or troubles you as a means of grace to humble you. God will see such acceptance as proof that your whole heart desires it. So that's why I feel like that's kind of, we're not robots, and God does give us freedom to interact and to make decisions. And this is kind of where I feel like this is our responsibility. We understand our humility before God and our position, and that he's the one that does the work. But we also kind of need to want it. And we also, in like taking, I mean, I'm talking like every opportunity, like every conversation, even as I'm standing up here, I'm praying, keep me humble. Like, because that's how important it is for God to be working through us and in our life. And I've been kind of like, I didn't tell my husband that I was reading this book. I kind of wanted to experiment on him and see how. And he did notice a change. There's things that like would have set me off, or because my sins are more like I want to control things and I want order. And so that sin of pridefulness comes out a lot more. And like the humility of, okay, God, this is, my flesh wants to act in this way. It wants to say this thing, but he's been stopping me. The Holy Spirit's been stopping me and saying, that's your pride speaking. Here's how to move forward in humility. I'm not saying I'm perfect at it, but it has been so eye-opening. And it's been so, it's simplified. Because I think I want to be like, well, did I respond correctly? Did I say the right thing? Was this me not doing this? It's just like, was that my pride speaking? Yes or no? How do I act humbly? God, please help me. And that's been something that I kind of wanted to communicate to you. And I think it could be very applicable to our lives. And it kind of brings it all back around to the first part of Philippians 2, which is being unified with each other. Like, imagine if we were all taking every single moment to focus on humility, how much more unified would we be? How much more kind would we be to each other? And this is where, like, all the other stuff about Christianity comes from that. Like, the fruits of the Spirit, like the love, joy, peace, patience, that all is stemming from humility. The obedience, that's all stemming from it. And it's pretty powerful, and that's why I recommended the book. And I think it's good stuff. So I hope that left you with something. And we'll just pray and thank you for your time. Dear Father, we love you so much. Please teach us how to be humble before you and humble before others. Please work on us for the rest of our lives, but especially as this is fresh in our mind the next few weeks. Show us our pride. Show us our sin of pridefulness. And give us the moments to speak humbly and to humble ourselves before you and before others. We love you and we trust you. Amen. Amen.
Ladies, that's not the goodie. You can break up and go to small groups. If there's anyone here that's not in the